It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is April 21st, 2022. And you can tell by the sound of my voice, this is one of the early morning recordings. It is 0600 this morning here, and I am recording the show because at 1900 UTC, I will be in a cubicle dungeon and will not be able to get a signal out. But big shout out to everyone in comm who's here, and also shout out to DJ Snowdusk, who had a rad show yesterday. I didn't get into comm in time to say so. But anyway, hello, hello. There's so much news. Feel free to join in comm if you'd like. Pretty much almost every day I tell you how to do it, but today... I've got a pre-recorded way to tell you. Alright, and if you'd like to join and chat during the show, you can do that while we're doing it live. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and once you're there, go ahead and launch comm. If you don't have an account yet, all you need to do is SSH over as new, N-E-W, at sdf.org, and you'll be able to sign up for an account. Once you sign up for an account, then you SSH over, you launch
com,
G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and then that will connect you to the Anon Radio Room, where you get to hang out with cool people like Stud and Claudio M and Ratsu and X1 and Jazzmaz, if he's listening, and all sorts of cool people. So definitely go ahead and do that. I started messing with the deck while that was going on. Anyway, yes, so that's all you got to do. Shout out to S and the other new people that were in comm. Carmine and stuff. It was pretty cool to see all these people. A lot of new people rolling through comm lately. Not sure where the people are coming from, but I think it's kind of neat. All right. All right, time to do the focused part, and we're just going to roll through some news. Thank you so much for being here. Let's go ahead and start the way we pretty much always start, and that's with
world news.
And, of course, we start with death. We'll go through some death stories. There's a lot of sadness in the world. A lot of people don't have moms and dads right now. A small plane has crashed onto a major road in the Haitian capital of Port-au-Prince, killing at least six people. The aircraft was on its way from the capital of the southeastern port town of Jacmel when it came down in the suburb of Carrefour. It injured several people on the ground. The pilot was one of those who initially survived but died of his injuries in the hospital later. Officials say engine failure was to blame. The aircraft had sent a distress signal some 20 minutes after takeoff, the country's civil aviation authority has said. Prime Minister Ariel Henry expressed sympathy with the families of the victims, who had just been plunged into the greatest desolation by this new tragedy. The impoverished country has been hit by a number of natural disasters in recent years, which have caused extensive damage to the infrastructure and economy. Gang violence has also worsened in the wake of the political crisis following the assassination of President Jovenel Moïse in July last year. It's kind of sad. Haiti's down there in the Caribbean next to the Dominican Republic, if you're not sure where it's at, which, if you're an American, you might be confused or might not be sure. So Haiti's the country that's stuck on next to the Dominican Republic. All right. What else is happening? Well, a deadly blast rips through a Shia mosque in Afghanistan. A powerful explosion has ripped... Oops, sorry, gonna cough. There we go. A powerful explosion has ripped through a Shia mosque in Mazar-e-Sharif, northern Afghanistan, causing dozens of casualties, according to officials. Preliminary reports confirm there are at least 25 casualties. The Bahula Nurani, head of Balkh Province's Information and Culture Department, told the AFP news agency. Dr. Ghassouddin Anwari, head of the main hospital in Mazar-i Sharif told the Associated Press news agency the blast killed at least 10 worshippers and wounded another 40. He said the victims were brought to the hospital from the mosque in ambulances and private cars. An ISIS or ISIL affiliate known as the Islamic State of Khorasan Province, or ISKP, or ISIS-K. They have so many names for this one group that's just killing people. Earlier on Thursday in the capital, a roadside bomb exploded and wounded two children. Kabul police spokesman Khalid Zadran said in a tweet, the bomb went off in the median strip of a road in a western area of Kabul in a mostly Shia neighborhood. 2 days earlier in the same area, multiple explosions targeting educational institutions killed at least 6 people, mostly children, and wounded 17 others. And of course, we can't forget last Thursday, at least 4 people were killed and 18 wounded by a blast in Kunduz City. Provincial police spokesman Abadi told AFP it was caused by a bicycle bomb targeting a vehicle carrying mechanics working for a Taliban military unit. So, just lots of death, and really, it's pretty sad. Anyway, it's just always horrible when kids are dying, but this is just a tough time for Muslims all over the world, it seems like. Ramadan, man, it's a trip. Oh, yeah, and Eid al-Fitr is coming up, so pretty exciting times for those who follow that religion, so celebrate. All right, and Mazar-i Sharif is in the northern part of the country, just if you're curious. Hold on, let me do this. Let me see if I can do this. Curses. Yeah, I'm pre-recording this, but I'm still doing. Anyway, what I was doing was I was in dreamland, where I go whenever I'm idling because nobody's around, and I wanted to give you a link so that you can see where the blast was, where Mazar-i Sharif was, because I didn't know where the heck it was in Afghanistan. If you go to sdf.org/L/LM, so that's Lima/LimaMarcus, no, Lima Mike, that will show you the map. So sdf.org/L/LM, like Lima Mike. All right, so what else is going on? Well, in the U.S., police have killed at least 600 people in traffic stops since 2017, data shows. Deaths continue apace this year, with black victims disproportionately harmed amid calls to reduce traffic encounters. If you're not aware, the United States is, I'm surprised, the United States is famously racist and has a very deadly police force that loves to kill minorities, and is often, if I would say rarely, held to any account. They're kind of like an autonomous death squad, really. Police in the U.S. have killed nearly 600 people during traffic stops since 2017, with the deaths continuing apace this year. The numbers add urgency to the growing push from advocates to prevent deadly stops and remove officers from traffic enforcement following the police killing of Patrick Loyola, a black Michigan man, earlier this month. He's actually, he was in Michigan, but he was from, he was a Congo refugee, a refugee from DR Congo. Encounters with police during traffic stops, including minor infractions, disproportionately harm people of color, according to data collected by Mapping Police Violence, a nonprofit research group, which argues these armed police should not be involved in many of these cases. About 10% of the roughly 1,100 people killed by police each year involve traffic violations. We often see the most extreme examples on the news, but this is something that happens so frequently, said Samuel Sinyangwe, a data scientist and policy analyst who founded Mapping Police Violence. There were 97 deadly traffic stops in 2017, 114 in 2018, 117 in 2019, 119 in 2020, 117 in 2021, and 25 so far in 2022 as of April, according to the latest data. There's been renewed scrutiny of traffic stops since the April 4th killing of Loyola, an unarmed 26-year-old in Grand Rapids. He was shot in the back of the head after a struggle with an officer who pulled him over for having a mismatched license plate. That means that his license plate was registered to a different type of vehicle or a different vehicle than the one that it was on. Oftentimes your registration will say, like, blue sedan or red truck, and then if that vehicle if they catch that license plate on, like, a green sedan or something, they'll know something was going on. Dante Wright was a 20-year-old who was killed after being pulled over for an expired registration tag. They claimed it was because he had an air freshener hanging off of the window. Sandra Bland, 28, was stopped for failing to signal. Philando Castile died after he looked like a suspect in a robbery because he had a nose, a wide-set nose, which is one of the most generic possible things you could say. Mapping police violence tracks deaths reported by government and media and categorizes a killing as a traffic case if the encounter began with a routine traffic stop. It doesn't classify deaths as traffic violations if the individual is pulled over for other reasons. Black drivers make up 28% of those killed in traffic stops, while accounting for only 13% of the population. Research has consistently found that black and brown drivers are more likely to be stopped, searched, and subjected to force. The article goes on, and I could rant on about the injustice that and evil that is the United any police force in the United States, but we just don't have enough time. We got to keep moving. And also this guy.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yeah, we're going to play a song here in a minute because I am getting heated. First, fun fact, if you haven't listened to the show for a long time, whenever we first started, the reason I played a song the first time was because I got so angry at a news story, I needed to cool off. And then I started, it was like, oh, this is kind of a trend. I always end up getting upset with one or two more stories. And so I would just play a song. But now, this guy's taken over.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
So anyway, sorry. I'm like a little weird right now. Okay, let's talk about Scott Morrison. Australian PM faces backlash over blessed disability remark. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison has been criticized for telling an audience he is blessed not to have children with disabilities. Mr. Morrison made the remark during a town hall debate ahead of Australia's election after being asked a question by a woman with an autistic son. Opposition MPs and others said the comment was upsetting, with one saying every child is a blessing. Government MPs said the context of the comment had been lost in the backlash. During Mr. Morrison's debate with Labour leader Anthony Albanese, the woman, identified as Catherine, asked about funding for a disability support scheme. I've been told to give my son the best future, I need to vote Labour. Can you please tell me what the future of the National Disability Insurance Scheme looks like under your government? The Prime Minister began by asking Catherine for her son's name. After she replied it was Ethan, Mr. Morrison said, Jenny and I have been blessed. We've got two children that haven't had to go through that. And so for parents with children who are disabled, I can only try and understand your aspirations for those children. He wanted to discuss how the scheme helped people live their best possible life while adding it still had faults to address. But his use of bless drew a backlash. Katie Gallagher, a Labour senator who has an autistic daughter, said it was the kind of response they get all the time. She told Network 7, certainly my daughter enriches my life and my partner's life every day. And then it goes on to kind of talk about that. On Thursday, Mr. Morrison defended his words as being in good faith. But I was just simply trying to say, I haven't walked in your shoes, Catherine. I'm not going to pretend to say that I understand it as well as you do. So he's in hot water for that. We'll see how that goes. The way labor and other things are going on in Australia, I don't know. But anyway, I wanted to cover Australia because I know we've got some cool shows coming out of Australia. Okay. Well, I guess we should go ahead and play a song, but before we do, I want to let you know one other, like, let me tell you a cool story so that at least we're not too far out there. Here's a cool story. This is in the UK. People using self-driving cars will be allowed to watch television on built-in screens under proposed updates to the highway code. The changes will say drivers must be ready to take back control of vehicles when prompted. The first use of self-driving technology is likely to be when traveling at slow speeds on motorways, like in congested traffic. However, using mobile phones while driving will remain illegal. No self-driving cars are currently allowed on UK roads, but the first vehicles capable of driving themselves could be ready for use later this year, the Department of Transport said. The planned changes to the code are expected to come in over the summer. The updates proposed following public consultation were described as an interim measure to support the early adoption of the technology, and a full regulatory framework is planned to be implemented by 2025. They will also lay out that users of self-driving cars will not be responsible for crashes. Oh, that's going to be very interesting. Can you imagine Tesla having to defend its AI in a court battle? That would be a very interesting case. Instead, insurance companies, not individuals, be liable for claims in many circumstances. The government announced in April last year hands-free driving in vehicles with lane-keeping technology on congested motorways would be permitted. Automated lane-keeping technology lets a vehicle drive in a single lane up to 37 miles per hour, or 60 kilometers, while maintaining the ability to return control to the driver when required. Experts have suggested a vehicle can stop built-in screens displaying material unrelated to driving when the motorist is required to resume control. There's no comparable system to turn off handheld mobile devices. Could you imagine if they implement something like that? That would be a trip. It's like, sorry, we're just going to remotely disable your cell phone when the computer thinks you should be paying attention to the road. I don't know. If it was a jammer inside of your car, maybe, but still sounds like might be a little bit too invasive. Anyway, this is called a song called Crush from Francis Grove, and I picked it because we've got two France stories coming up. They're not from France or anything. It was just a coincidence.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that's powered by you, the listener, and the people who hang out and use SDF. So thanks for being here. Welcome to all the new people that are finding SDF, maybe from Vintage Computer Fest, or just Plan 9 boot camp, or however you're finding SDF. Thanks for being here. If you're here and you're listening to Anon Radio, jump into Calm. The Anon Radio Room in Calm is where we talk during the show, during shows on Anon Radio. So it's a lot of fun there. Usually a lot of people hanging out talking. Let's do some tech stories real quick because we're running low on time at 1930 UTC. Every damn day is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. That is happening soon. We got, 10 minutes or so before that happens. And then, tonight, after the Dubious Goals Committee, we've got DJ Roll Time with Plane of the Eclectic and Language Soup with DJ Super Salad. Of course, after you have your soup or your salad, you'll want to stick around for some pumpkin pie with Mr. Bruges. And then McCormick has a show at midnight, 00 UTC, and F-Fog at 0100. So there's stuff going on all through the afternoon. So just keep it on radio as a favorite in VLC, or go ahead and make it that alias in your terminal for MPlayer or MPV or whatever CLI player you use to listen to non-radio. Check it out. All right, well, let's get going. There is so much tech and other news and not a lot of time. First, NASA's moon rocket faces more flight delays as repairs mount. It was very exciting when they debuted it and brought it out for the public to see, but now there's trouble. The flight debut of NASA's Mega Moon rocket faces additional delays following a string of failed fueling tests. Officials said Monday it will be challenging to meet a launch window in mid to early June. The next opportunity to send an empty capsule to the moon on a test flight would be at the end of June or July. The 30-story Space Launch System rocket has been on the pad at Kennedy Space Center for the past month. It will return to the hangar next week for valve and fuel leak repairs. The problems cropped up earlier this month, preventing NASA from filling the rocket's fuel tanks for a critical dress rehearsal. The rocket will likely spend weeks in the hangar before heading back to the pad for a testing redo. Managers are considering various options for getting back on track. It's just a matter of what's the right time, what's the right way to do that, said Tom Whitmire, a NASA Deputy Associate Administrator. NASA wants its test flight under its belt before putting astronauts on board for the second launch, a lunar fly-around targeted for 2024. The third mission would attempt to land on the moon around 2025, more than half a century after the Apollo moonshots. So, this is going to be exciting. In 2024, that will be kind of the year where we'll be like, oh, very cool, and then 2025. So, hopefully that doesn't get pushed back a whole lot more than that. I don't want to... I'd like this to happen before I... move off into the woods of Maine and retire, you know? So we'll see what happens. I live in Texas right now. Just my kind of daydream is to go live in the woods in Maine. All right. U.S. hedge fund billionaire sells Netflix stake at huge loss. That's right. Netflix has been hemorrhaging money and losing subscribers. And so Netflix being a big online property, number one in internet traffic for a while. The billionaire hedge fund manager Bill Ackman has sold his shares in Netflix at a loss of about $400 million U.S. dollars, reversing his bullish position on the streaming giant after it reported an outflow of more than 200,000 subscribers. The New York-based investor bought more than a billion of Netflix shares in January, despite grim forecasts about the company's subscription levels. Ackman said at the time that the subsequent drop in the share price had presented an attractive opportunity. But Ackman made a U-turn overnight after shares in the online streaming platform plunged more than 35% in reaction to the news that it had lost more than 200,000 subscribers in the first 3 months of the year and was likely to lose another 2 million over the next quarter as customers reviewed subscriptions bought at the height of COVID. The share drop wiped about $50 billion off of Netflix market value. This decision to offload the stake is estimated to result in a $400 million loss for the Pershing Fund, which is the hedge fund. In a letter to investors, Ackman conceded that the losses had knocked returns by 4 percentage points. So, sometimes you win some, you lose some. At least he's cutting his losses and isn't trying to do anything, any shady shenanigans with it. I gotta tell you, I recently just canceled all of my streaming services because I realized all I do is I watch YouTube or... get this, I just watch TV over the air, and I have a little DVR, cost 30 whole dollars, and I can record stuff off the air if I want to watch it later, like if there's a football game or something and I'm going to be asleep or whatever. Oh, that's right, I get Sports Bean or something like that. There's a sports channel. There are two channels over the air now in Austin that have football on, and so I can record them if the games are overnight. All right. What else? Well, come on, hurry up, Mark, because you're taking too long on inconsequential stories like Netflix and not enough time about dead people. All right, Google is going to open its first African product development center in Kenya. Google's chosen Nairobi for its first product development center on the continent. The announcement was made nearly 7 months after the tech giant revealed a $1 billion investment plan in various projects in Africa over the next 5 years. The company said it will hire more than 100 tech experts, including software engineers, researchers, and designers, in the next 2 years to help solve any difficult and technical challenges. So this is very exciting, and I hope that the West continues investing in Africa. That's pretty cool. Okay, here's some headlines. What's on the agenda as UK's Boris Johnson visits India? The British PM visits India against the backdrop of the war in Ukraine as the West urges India to take a stronger stand against Russia. Of course, the UK is famous for colonizing and abusing Russia for quite a long time. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson hopes to entice India towards the West and wean the country off its dependence on Russian oil and arms as the war in Ukraine rages on. Johnson arrived in India on Thursday, beginning his two-day trip in Gujarat, the home state of his Indian counterpart, Narendra Modi, noted house bulldozer BJP party. Sophia Wilms, Belgian foreign minister, resigns to care for sick husband. Belgian Foreign Minister Sophie Wilmès says she will temporarily step down to care for her husband, who's been diagnosed with brain cancer. Ms. Wilmès, who also serves as Deputy Prime Minister, will take leave until the end of the summer, when her family will reassess the situation. She says she has made the move in perfect consultation with the Prime Minister. In a statement, Prime Minister Alexander De Croo said Ms. Wilmès' choice commands the greatest respect. Mr. De Croo added that the minister would not officially resign from government and that her powers would instead be temporarily transferred to other ministers by a royal decree. Ms. Wilmès, who served as Prime Minister between 2019 and 2020, married her Australian husband, Chris Stone, in 2009. So, well wishes there. I hope he is able to recover. France. French presidential election. People in Brussels are quite worried. The future of Europe was one of the central themes of the debate between Emmanuel Macron and Marine Le Pen on Wednesday. Both candidates have different visions of the EU. So, since we're out of time, I can't go into it, but definitely check out France 24 for coverage of the election going on, because it's in France, so yeah, they care a lot. All right. Well, let's keep on moving. Someone named Joe Locker just joined Dreamland. Is trying to figure out calm, I guess. All right. Israel police fire rubber bullets in new Al-Aqsa incursion. Israeli forces used tear gas and rubber bullets against worshippers at dawn prayers. Palestinians responded with stones and petrol bombs. So Israeli forces, Israeli continues its genocide against Muslims, I guess. Israeli police have launched a new incursion into the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, wounding dozens of Palestinians. A medic who was inside the compound reported 30 injured by use of the pepper spray and rubber bullets to their arms and legs. It's just really tragic. Speaking of tragic, how about this to end things? The Progressive magazine at progressive.org has an article called "The United States' Shameful Nuclear Legacy in the Marshall Islands." After decades of interfering in the island nation with nuclear testing, disposal of radioactive waste, and human experimentation, U.S. leaders are considering a formal apology. Surprise, surprise, it won't be a big money apology. It'll just be a, I'm sorry we maimed and killed all of you. But anyway, check it out. Here's the intro. Some U.S. officials are considering whether to issue a formal apology to the Marshall Islands, a small island nation in the Pacific Ocean that the United States subjected to years of nuclear testing and human experimentation during the Cold War. Last month, several members of Congress introduced resolutions that, if approved, would offer an apology to the people of the islands who suffered from testing and disposal of radioactive nuclear waste. Our government used the Marshallese as guinea pigs to study the effect of radiation and turn ancestral islands into dumping grounds for nuclear waste, said U.S. Representative Katie Porter, Democrat of California, who introduced one of the resolutions. Marshall Islands are home to about 50,000 people and are located 2,500 miles southwest of Hawaii. The nation consists of two island chains that include several small islands and low-lying atolls. Its total landmass is threatened by rising sea levels and is only around 70 square miles. From 1947 to 1986, the Marshall Islands were part of the UN Trust Territory of the Pacific Islands. They remain under indirect U.S. control.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Enjoy it. Talk to you later. Thanks for listening. Sorry. Well, anyway, thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Dubious Goals. retrieval time.